Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Mark Bowling. Welcome to the weekly Be the Edge Challenge Call. I am going to be starting a series, and I'm going to be doing something a little different. I'm cheating a little bit. I've been going through a study that walks me through the Bible each day, where I read a little bit. And if you're not familiar with the Bible Project, I would highly recommend taking a look at it. What they do is they make a series of videos, and they associate it with scripture. They give a lot of background, a lot of information, and they kind of tell the story in a way that is a little bit more contemporary and a little bit easier for us to process and understand. And they tie a lot of really neat things together. So, for example, the Bible study that I'm doing right now is this one, which is reading through the Bible. It gives you, you know, day one, and you don't have to start January 1. It's just day one, and it walks you through. There's a series of videos that you can watch after you've read the chapters, and it gives you a psalm each day. And then they've just recently added, I didn't even know they did this, they have some new blog posts that you can read as well. So today we're going to take a look at, we're going to start a quick series on the Shema. And they'll explain, if you're not familiar with Shema is, it'll actually explain it as part of the video. But we're going to look at the word love, or ahava, today. So with that, I'm going to kick off a video.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening, Jewish people have prayed these well-known words as a way of expressing their devotion to God. They're called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And as for you, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. We're going to look at the third key word in this prayer, how Israel is called to love their God. But what does that mean? Love is a very common word in most languages, as it is in ancient Hebrew. It's pronounced ahava. It both basically refers to the kind of affection or care that one person shows another. It's sometimes physical affection, like the king of Persia's love for Queen Esther. But there are other Hebrew words that more specifically refer to physical desire or sex. Ahava is more broad. So Abraham had ahava for his son Isaac, that's parental love. Jonathan showed ahava for his friend David, that would be brotherly love. In fact, a whole group of people can have ahava for their leader, like when the Israelites showed love for their king David. Ahava can even describe loyalty between political allies, like Hiram, the king of Tyre, loved David. They had good relations, and so Hiram wanted to help David's son Solomon build the temple. These are all different kinds of affection described with the one word, ahava. Now, all of this is helpful for understanding God's ahava in the Old Testament. So in Deuteronomy, Moses told the Israelites, God showed affection for you. He chose you because of his ahava for you. So God doesn't love because the Israelites earned it or deserve it. It simply originates from God's own character. He loves because he loves. This is why Jeremiah can say that God's love is everlasting. It has no end because it has no beginning. God's love just is an eternal fact of the universe. And God's love is not a duty. It's a genuine feeling, an affection that God experiences. This is why the prophet Hosea compares God's love for his people to a husband's ahava for his wife, or to a parent showing ahava for their child. It's one of the strongest things that God feels. But that doesn't mean that God's love is just a feeling. God's love is also an action. It's something God chooses to do. Like when Moses says, because of God's ahava for your ancestors, he brought you out of Egypt with great power. God's love isn't just a sentiment, it is something God does. And so in the Shema, Israel is called to respond to God's ahava by showing ahava in return. And just like God's love, human love is to show itself through actions. Like in Deuteronomy 10, what does the Lord your God ask of you except to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him and serve him, and to keep his commands? All of these actions are centered around love. If I'm not doing them, I don't actually love God. I just say I do. Which leads to one last thing. In the Old Testament, I show my love for God by how I treat the people around me.
In Deuteronomy, we read that God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he chose Ahava for the immigrants among you, giving them food and clothing. And so you also show Ahava for the immigrant. So the people are to imitate God's Ahava by showing Ahava for others. This is the idea underneath the famous line, "You shall Ahava your neighbor as yourself." And so at the end of the day, all of this is rooted in God's own eternal Ahava. Like we read in the New Testament letter of 1 John, we love because God first loved us. And that's the Hebrew word, ahava.
So I hope that that is as meaningful to you as it is to me. Obviously, the challenge from that I would issue is now go ahava those that God puts into your life today. Interesting kind of fact about the about this too is ties in that our pastor this weekend was talking about love, and he was talking about how love is the ultimate maturity of Christian faith. That once we get to the point where we can truly love everyone, that is what we're striving for. So go forth, be the edge, and ahava.
Thanks, Mark. That was good stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. See you next week for part two.
Absolutely.
Good job, Mark. Thank you very much. I love the Bible Project.
Yep. I've been a huge fan. We've used several of the different series in our small group to be able to just delve into different books of the Bible. They're different, obviously.
Yeah.
Different studies about heaven and, you know, all sorts of things. And they do such a great job with the animation to really kind of, you know, for those of us that are both visually and auditory learners, they do a great job of helping you learn. And
they do a great job of taking some really complex topics and simplifying them into a short, you know, easy to grasp videos. It's really good. I like that one. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'll see you guys.
Awesome.
See y'all.
Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. So, Kevin, what do you think for real now?
I like it. That's
okay, great. Good.
I think it's got a nice different feel to it that adds a whole new element. So that's very fun. Hey,
good.
And you let me know about next week.
I will.
And if I have to do that, you'll certainly make sure I know how, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link right now. But is it easier by text or email?
Text.
Okay. While we're on right now, why don't I... Why don't you open that up real quick? And the great thing about it is it already has all the links are active in this link. So if you scroll down to page 3, you'll see on line 57, you'll see the heart video. I'll share my screen.
Okay, line 57, Lev.
Yeah. So all you have to do is just click on that, and that'll take you to the video for Lev. And then, obviously, just click Watch Now.
For thousands of years, every morning and evening.
And so it'll play the video. And that's probably the better way to do it, because the way I did it today is I looked it up on YouTube, and this actually plays without all the stuff from YouTube around the border.
Okay. All right. Well,
and then you just have, and you know how to share your screen?
Nope. Yeah. I thought I was. You know what? I think it comes up instead of me, Mark, but it may not. You would know better.
What?
I think it filled up my screen when I clicked on that.
So right now I've made it so I'm going to stop sharing. Okay. So now why don't you try to Click share screen.
Share.
Should be at the bottom, right in the middle.
There we go.